Thanks, Juno. I thought you were going to play the doxology there, and I'm like, whoa, where'd it go?
That's good.
You know, if you look in the bulletin, the song that we sang, that we started off with this morning, hymn number 404, you don't have to look it up, but it reminded me of a couple of psalms, and Psalm 98 and then Psalm 100. I just want to read you a little bit of it, but the song was entitled, "I Have a Song That Jesus Gave Me, and in my heart there rings a melody." What a great, man, it's just a great phrase. But here's what it says, Psalm 98. I'm not going to read all of it to you, but this is what it reminded me of. "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." And it goes on, verse 4, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord." And then over in Psalm 100, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord of all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." So the question is, what's the song that Jesus gave you? What kind of, that's a sermon title right there, "The Song That Jesus Gave You." What is that song? And are you living that song? That's a little bit of what we're going to be talking about this morning. Before we jump into that, do we have the our memory verse? This is the last time we'll be saying this memory verse for this month. And then we move on to a next one. This one is from Romans chapter 13. We're going to read the scripture reference, read the scripture, and then the reference again. So here we go. Romans 13:10, "Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." Romans 13:10. So we've been talking about folks who believe in Jesus Christ. We're the ones, or many of us have claimed that we are folks who believe Jesus died and rose again, and he did this literally. I mean, he conquered the grave. He, as this little video showed, he forgave us our sin, and then, of course, he fills the believer. He fills us with his Holy Spirit, and then he grants what he calls abundant life. "I have come that they may have life and live it to the fullest," or have an abundant life. And so the folks who believe this are called Christians. And I think we all know that. But from there, we talked about kind of two views Christians can take. One I called the energy suckers, and then there are those are the Christians who kind of live in the negative view of their faith. Can be very legalistic, very condemning, and highly judgmental of others. And they like to heap burdens of guilt upon people, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees did, always finding fault and maybe complaining and so on. And I still contend that these folks can be Christians. Then there is the second view we talked about. This is the view where Christians have found freedom and forgiveness. You remember the guy with the beakers. He's talking about the Christians who have been forgiven, and they finally found that freedom. And so this view, these Christians have found their freedom and their forgiveness, and they're then wanting to take it out, and they're wanting to share it with others. They want others to find this freedom, and I called these Christians the positive enthusiasts. And that means that they are inspired Christians. Literally, the Greek, remember, means being filled with the divine. In our case, filled with the Holy Spirit. So they want to love, they want to encourage, they want to be compassionate, they want to lift people up as they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we ended by saying one of the keys to staying positive in that way was to think of the godly things, and those godly things were found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and I think we might have that on the screen, and I'd like to, do we? Did you have the whole verse on the screen or no? No, okay. Well, so that's homework. More homework for you. Philippians 4, 4 through 9, "But we're to think on those things that are pure and holy and lovely," all those things that honor God. And in fact, these enthusiasts, these folks that are filled with the divine, are in general a joyful group. They're not anxious. Rather, they are a group that thanks God, that gives praise to God, letting their gentleness be made known to everyone. They're the kind of folks who continue to grow in that peculiar peace that surpasses all understanding. We just can't comprehend it, but we know it's there. We can feel it. We can taste it. We just don't quite fully understand what it is, but Jesus offers it. And so the abundant life for the enthusiast starts the day you believe. Unlike, I think, the energy suckers who think the abundant life starts when one dies and goes to heaven. That's when the abundant life starts. So today I want to highlight some of the differences between the two groups in the way in which, and then in the way in which we conduct ourselves in our everyday lives, supposedly as believers in Christ Jesus. And before we do that, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds to your guidance and your direction today. Help us to stay focused on you and you alone. And Lord Jesus, I just pray, kind of like what Nanette was talking about today, that people just come to know you, be part of the family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the first question I'm going to ask is, how many of you did your homework of not watching any political news? Do we have some? Okay, good. I'm glad. Now, for those of you that did do that, I think the deacons have offered $100 cash, and for everybody else, no one's getting anything. But for those of you that did do your homework assignment, did you feel better? Did you kind of have a better week not knowing all the junk that's going on in our world? Did anybody replace some of that garbage with God stuff, with the Philippians kind of stuff? Thinking about and or even doing those things that would please God. Well, thanks, Ray. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure some of you did. Did you worry as much? I love, when it comes to homework, I love what the fishing rod asked his good friend the boat. You know, they were out on the lake, and fishing rod was given a whole lot of work. And so the boat was giving him a ride, and the fishing rod said, "Can you help me with my homework?" Some of you got it. Testing to see if you're awake. Which, that went so bad, I'm not going to share the other one. So, so let's quickly go through some differences between energy suckers and positive enthusiasm and enthusiasts. But now I want you to understand that this isn't 100%, because the enthusiast, that's the person that's filled with the Holy Spirit, they mess up, but they really strive for some of these things. And the general rule is they act and behave this way, the general rule. And then we'll find out the differences here. Number one, I don't even remember if I put them in your outline or anything, but you can kind of just follow along. The enthusiast, the one that is divinely filled, is grateful for what they have. The energy sucker takes things for granted, and they feel they deserve what they have, and sometimes they even feel entitled to what they have. Number two, the enthusiast generally chooses to focus on the bright side of things. The energy sucker tends to complain a lot. Now, by the way, do you guys remember when we went through the complaint-free world? How many years ago was that? That was probably 8 years ago, and I always have spares. I taught this at our church in North Canton, Ohio. So I've been wearing these bracelets for years simply because I know my tendency is to complain. So I always wear that as a reminder. So I'm in the ES category every once in a while. Enthusiasts accept responsibility. That's part of being a positive enthusiast. When you screw up, you accept the responsibility. An energy sucker, they tend to shift the responsibility. They like to put the blame on others instead of accepting it themselves. Number four, enthusiasts see failure as a great opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to learn when we fail at certain things. The energy sucker finds failure hard to accept and claim it. Again, that goes back to responsibility. Number five, enthusiasts deal with change fairly well, knowing it really is the only constant in life. Every day changes. Things change. The energy sucker generally hates change. Number six, enthusiasts try to find the potential in others. That's what they do. They go around, they look at somebody, even though, I mean, you've got Tim in the prison ministry, and he's looking at these guys in jail, and he's going, wow, they've got potential, they've got opportunity. And okay, I want to share with them Jesus, and I know because God's miraculous, he can do wonderful things in those folks' lives. And so they try to find the potential in others. Energy suckers constantly find fault with others. Enthusiasts know when to let go and let God. And this is a huge one here, because I think it all stems there, is that energy suckers have a very difficult time letting go and letting God. And then number eight, enthusiasts don't wait for great things to happen. They try to create them, and they try to spread the divine. Energy suckers spread angst and resentment. Now, of course, the big question is, as a Christian, who are you? Who am I? Where do I fall? Do I fall on one or the other? Do I fall in between? Where does God want me to be? And does he want me to be an energy sucker or a positive enthusiast? Now, I'm not going to answer that question for you, but let's not forget what we learned last week. Remember, what goes in here and is in our hearts goes to every cell in our body. You remember that? And so when we encounter people, people can feel that 5 to 10 feet away. What are they feeling from you? What are they feeling from me? So when I think of the energy sucker and the positive enthusiast, I think of two biblical characters. And we always talk about this guy, and every time I read it again, you know, I learn something new. You're probably sick of me talking about Jonah. He's becoming one of my favorite characters because there's just so many things to learn about him. You know, while Jesus wasn't on the scene yet when Jonah was around, Jonah was a guy who truly believed in God. I mean, he loved God. He was a prophet. But he was an energy sucker. And he almost killed some sailors until he fessed up to his misdeeds. God directly spoke to him. Could you imagine God just coming and verbally saying, hey, Dave, go somewhere? And God gave him marching orders to start a preaching tour through Nineveh, a very corrupt place. And he wanted Jonah to call them out on their wickedness. But Jonah threw a fit. God, I don't want to go. I don't like these people. They're sinners. Why would I go there? So he runs away, and you know the story. He jumps at a ship and thought he could get away from God, whom, by the way, right, he believed in. Big storm happens. Everything's going around. He's thrown overboard to save the ship and the crew. He's swallowed by this big whale, especially spit out on the beach. Or eventually spit out on the beach after he finally gives praise to God. I mean, it's a whale of a story. But negative Nelly, Jonah, goes right back at it, and he just can't let things go. He actually got angry at God's compassion, if you look it up. Again, read the story. He gets angry at God because God himself is compassionate for the Ninevites and says, hey, because the Ninevites have turned my way again, I'm not gonna destroy their city, their town. And so God relented. He did not destroy the Ninevites. And Jonah's thinking, God, these guys were so wicked. They deserve to die. I don't want you to give them a break. What are you doing? Why should they get a second chance? I hate my life. The happiest we see Mr. Energy sucking Jonah is when God made a plant grow tall to give him shade. He was in the heat. He was burning up. And so God makes this nice big plant. It grows in I don't know how many hours, but it was certainly before a day was over. And he has all this shade. And he's feeling pretty good. He doesn't feel too bad. But the next day, this worm destroys the plant. And there's Jonah sitting in the heat again. And he went straight back to whining. God, what are you doing? It's too hot. Again, I hate my life. I'm so down, I want to die. Just go ahead and take me out. This guy whined more than he dined. Now, we never really find out if Jonah got his act together. Remember that, the end of the story? We don't know what happened to Jonah. We know what happened to the Ninevites, but we don't know what happened to Jonah. Well, did he stay that way? Did he change? Was his attitude changed? Now, there are plenty of positive enthusiasts in Scripture. You might know the Apostle Paul. Before he became a believer in Jesus Christ, he was an energy sucker. He was the one that put rules and burdens and all those sorts of things onto people as a Pharisee. But Christ turned him, changed him around into a positive enthusiast. And for many people, this is a process. It just doesn't happen overnight. But the one positive enthusiast that I would like to talk about and mention was and is Jesus himself. You can't get better than that for an example. So it's from his faith, his perseverance, his generosity, even his intellect and his mind, we can see the best qualities possible that we can possess because we are filled with the divine. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, only growing in Christ can move us from energy suckers to positive enthusiasts. There's no other way you're going to get there. And that is what is called joy. I would call it joy energy. I don't know if I even want to use that word, but that's what it is, because when you have joy, 5 to 10 feet away, people can feel it. So it's some kind of energy. It's that divine energy that's coming out of us, Jesus Christ himself through his Holy Spirit. And so here's, I want to give you a quick list of some of Jesus' character traits that made him a positive enthusiast. Now, this is not an exhaustive list. This is a short list, right? Or we'd be here all day. Here's Jesus as a positive enthusiast. He's compassionate. He's a servant, always serving. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's committed, 100% committed. You're not going to find anybody that's going to go to a cross and die for humankind's sin. I mean, this Jesus was very committed. He's prayerful, gentle, patient. He has self-control. And you're going, what are you talking about? Do you remember when he's out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and Satan was tempting him? And Jesus says, nope, he's got the self-control. And what does he do? He's always quoting scripture at Satan, so Satan had to go away. And instead of succumbing to Satan's temptation, Jesus is victorious. So he had great self-control. He was humble, and always willing to sacrifice. I think one of the sacrifices, I sure wrote it down, but you can look it up and maybe even Google it, trying to think of where it was. But it's in one of the Gospels where Jesus had ministered to people all day long. And then he goes up and he goes to catch a little rest, but just tons and tons more people came. And he goes, I got to go help these guys. And he goes out and he does some more healing. Always, always willing to sacrifice for others. Very forgiving. And if you want scripture on all of that, I would encourage you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those four Gospels right there. You'll find out all about Jesus and his qualities of being a positive enthusiast. So I got to thinking about all this, not only for myself, where am I on this little scale thing, but how others might be able to deal with, myself included, all the negative stuff that goes on in the world that I had you turn off for a week. How do we deal with that? How do you continue to let people feel that divine inspiration that Jesus has filled us with 5 to 10 feet away when we struggle so hard in our world? Could be your job that you hate, you absolutely hate it, or the person that keeps dragging you down, or maybe it's the spouse that won't let up, or other people's bad attitudes. How do we deal with that? And how can we get through each day? Well, it can be fairly simple if you look at it in terms of what Jesus asks us to do. Come to him. He says to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. You're filled with His Spirit. Of course, He cares for you. So we need to do some of those things. We need to listen to Jesus. You know, Jesus knew as a positive enthusiast, He was filled with the divine Himself. His joy, this is what Jesus knew, His joy must be greater than everyone else's negativity. Had to be greater than Satan's in the wilderness. His joy. He was hungry, He was thirsty, but He still had the inner joy of His Heavenly Father. And He was able to overcome. Write that down. I wrote that down because I think it's just so good for me. I put it this way. My joyful energy must be greater than anyone's negativity. Right? So when people are negative, 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 my joy has to put up the block. It doesn't mean you don't deal with situations. It just means your joy, you have to be able to leave at the end of the day joyful in Jesus Christ and in who you are as a believer. You know, if you are a positive enthusiast, you really do believe that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. I'd like to read for you Psalm 28, if you want to look it up. Psalm 28. Psalm's a long book, isn't it? Psalm 28. Psalm 28, verses 7 through 9. Oh, look at that. You guys are just too good. Here we go. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Well, how can you? That is so positive, it's positive, with another positive next to it. That's incredible. And the joy that comes from the Lord, again, is what gives us our strength. It's what gives us our enthusiasm. So let's say you want to share the Holy Spirit with an energy sucker. How do you do that? Make sure your joy is greater than their negativity and live it out. Make sure they feel it. They can sense it in your patience, in your compassion, in your forgiveness, in your love, in your laughter, and even in a caring smile. And you know what? Hugs are always good. They really are. I know in our day and age, you're not supposed to really hug anybody, right? But hugs are good. At our old church, Trinity Baptist in North Canton, I'm you know, the 62% Scandinavian guy who never liked to hug people. We're always just kind of standoffish as far as the hugs are concerned. We'll joke around and have some really good, wild, funny jokes. But we don't like to hug a whole lot. And her goal was to turn me into a hugger, and she did. I think she's now 80-some years old. She knew Dave needed some positive enthusiasm, right? It's those kind of people that can touch the world. We're kind of asked to do the same. Touch the world with our enthusiasm. Would you do that this week? And for homework, read that Philippians thing. Read it every day. And I would probably encourage you to keep off the news, that political garbage stuff, for a while longer. I've been at it, I think, now 3 weeks. It's like changed my life. I still think I can solve all the world's problems when I have discussions with everybody, right? We all do. But the thing is, now I get to be so concerned about who you are, who the community is, and work on those things here in our own neighborhood.